When I was growing up as a young child, like most young children, Christmas was my absolute favorite holiday, by far. And it's for the reason that I'm sure you can guess, all of the presents. My mom came from a family of 10 siblings. My dad had 5 siblings, and with the exception of just one uncle, they were all living in Hawaii, not far from where we lived. And every single one of those uncles and aunts would give to me and my siblings a Christmas present. So, and you add to that grandparents, close friends, neighbors. I'm almost embarrassed now that I look back on what Christmas morning was like, opening all of those gifts. My attitude towards Christmas has changed 180 degrees. Now that I am no longer focusing on being the recipient of gifts, I am now focusing more on having to give gifts. And that is not easy to do, especially when there are people like my brother, who for the last almost 30 years has been working in the high-tech industry in Silicon Valley in California. He makes 3 or 4 times the amount of money that I make. And he's the type of person, if he wants something, he buys it. He has everything he wants, everything he needs. What do you buy for somebody like that for Christmas? It's really, really tough. That's why I don't look forward to Christmas anymore. Especially when gifts that you give generally say something about the relationship that you have with that person. And that's why I really struggle trying to figure out what's the best gift to give. It's been my tradition to give a gift each Christmas to my church elders. And I long ago settled on a book, but I choose very carefully the book that I will give to the elders each year, because it says something about what I think of them and what I think of God also. But what do you give to somebody who has everything? And this morning, as you think about tomorrow being Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior, even though we know that December 25 is not the date that Jesus was born. That's the date that the Christian world has chosen to recognize the coming of our Savior into our world. But I don't know if you've thought very often about how we celebrate our Savior's birth by giving each other gifts. Have you ever been to a birthday party for someone and all of the guests exchange gifts among themselves and the person whose birthday you're celebrating receives nothing? I don't think any of us has ever been to a birthday party like that. I've been to birthday parties where the birthday person says, please do not bring any gifts. Been that to that kind of a party, but never where everybody else is exchanging gifts among themselves and nothing for the birthday person. But that goes on year after year at Christmas. We give each other gifts. But what do we give to Jesus? Especially if you consider Jesus is not just a rich person. He is the ruler of the universe. Talk about somebody who has everything. What do you give someone who has everything? Not just this world, the entire universe and everything in it is his. What could we possibly give to Jesus? What did he receive when he was born? Well, this morning I invite you to take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew's record of the story of the wise men coming to honor the newborn king, and they came with gifts. Matthew chapter 2. And I won't take the time to read through the passage again, but the question that usually comes up is, who exactly were these wise men? The Greek word that Matthew uses to identify these wise men is the Greek word magi, from which we get the English word magi. The word magi was originally used to refer to a priestly caste in Persia, but later on it came to refer to any person who had supernatural knowledge or abilities, basically someone that people believed could communicate with the gods, who had special spiritual insight. But as time went on, that word magi came to be used to refer to magicians. And it actually began to take on negative connotations, that they were actually seen as deceivers. But Matthew uses that word here to refer to these men who came from the East. And there are several different theories, speculations about who these were. Where did they come from? But the best speculation that I've come across is that these were astrologers / astronomers who came from Babylon. The Babylonians had taken the Jewish people captive for 70 years, and when they were allowed to go back to their homeland to rebuild their city, some of the Jews chose to remain in Babylon. So the Babylonians were well acquainted with Jewish culture, Jewish society, and even the sacred writings of the Jewish people, what we would have as our Old Testament today. And these wise men had studied these sacred writings and had discovered these prophecies referring to the birth of a king. And when they saw this star, they identified the star with announcing the birth of the king. So they followed the star and came to Jerusalem and eventually made their way to the baby Jesus. These wise men brought with them gifts, and I'd like us to look for a moment at these gifts. But just before we do that, just as an aside, we have traditionally said that there were three wise men. And if you notice here in the passage, does Matthew tell us how many wise men there were?
No,
he doesn't say. But there are three gifts that are mentioned, and so the assumption has come about that there were three wise men because there were three gifts. But really, we don't know. We just know that they brought these three gifts. And what gifts did they bring? And what do these gifts say about their relationship with this baby? We don't know what the wise men thought of the baby, but looking back, I think we can place some significance on the gifts that they gave. The first one is gold. And this is certainly the most appropriate gift you could give to a newborn king. It is the most precious element that human beings recognize that we have here on earth, and certainly you give the best to a king. The next gift is frankincense. Frankincense came from a resin which was taken from a tree. It was fragrant, and one of the common uses for frankincense was it was beaten into a powder and burned as incense. This was incense that the priests would burn at the altar during the times of prayer. The incense, the frankincense, pointed to Jesus as a priest, as our high priest. And then the myrrh was a fragrant ointment or perfume. Myrrh was commonly used as an embalming fluid. And in John's gospel, he tells us that Nicodemus brought myrrh and aloes to embalm the body of Jesus, to get his body ready for burial. So these three gifts give us some insight into who Jesus is, what he did for us, our King, our High Priest, and our Savior. Acknowledging him as supreme, the ruler of the universe, as our High Priest, our intercessor before our Father in heaven, and the one who died for us, our Savior. They brought these gifts to Jesus. This morning I ask you, what are you bringing as your gift to Jesus? But what do you give to someone who has everything? One of the memories that I have as a child, a few days before Christmas, my dad would pack all of us, our whole family, into the car, and we'd drive around the island delivering gifts to my father's business associates. He was a painting contractor, And so he would give gifts to all of the general contractors, and he would explain to me how he depended on these general contractors to give him jobs. And then he would also give gifts to clients who would always be referring him to other clients so that he could keep having jobs. And he said he gave gifts at Christmas time to these clients and general contractors so that they would continue to give him jobs. Remember that what we give as a gift says something about what the nature of the relationship is. And looking back, what my dad gave to his contractors and clients was the finest whiskey that he could afford to buy. And looking back, many of his business deals were settled over drinks. And so that's why he gave them whiskey. My dad would not do that today. Praise God, he no longer drinks. But back then, that was important. And in his mind, he was giving the best. What are you going to give to Jesus? And what do you consider to be your very best that you could offer to him? But then what could you possibly give him that he doesn't already have? If you look at Matthew 2 again, in verse 11, Matthew tells us that the wise men opened their treasures. That word for treasure also refers to the container that you put something precious in. It wasn't necessarily the treasure itself. It was also used to refer to the container for the treasure. So I ask you, where is your treasure? Where do you keep the things that are most precious to you? I would like to suggest that your treasure is you. The most precious things you have is here. Your time, your health, your affections are all here. Will you open your treasures and offer that to Jesus? The only thing that he does not have is you. He would love to have you. And that would be the best that we could possibly give him, ourselves. I've mentioned before how when my children were little, I heard about a father who had a tradition that I quickly adopted. The day before my child's birthday, I would take the child out for lunch. The child would be able to choose whatever restaurant they could go to, they would want to go to. And when they were little, it was always Chuck E. Cheese. But it really didn't matter because it was just the child and me. And even more important than the food and the atmosphere, it was just the time to be alone with my child. They would have my undivided attention, talk about whatever they'd want to talk about, or not talk if they didn't want to talk. It didn't matter. It was their time to be alone with me. That presence, that time, I believe is the best that we could give to our Savior as a gift. To simply say, Lord, I am yours. My time is yours. My attention is yours. Whatever I have, I give to you. Nothing, I think, would make Jesus happier than to have him receive all of you. And this morning, I would just ask, are you willing to give the best gift that you possibly can to Jesus? Are you willing to give yourself to him? If this is your desire, would you just stand? Dear Jesus, you gave us all. And we really have nothing that we can offer to you except ourselves. And we do that this morning, Father, dear Jesus. Each person standing before you, you know their hearts. I pray that you will help us to offer ourselves to you not just at Christmas, but each day of the year. Please take us, live in us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that our lives that we give to you will be able to bring you glory and hasten the day when you will come to take us home. We ask in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.